on this. Available on Amazon.com, right, available now. Debbie Hampton believes the key to overcoming depression and anxiety and to stop living a numb, fear-based existence in your head, literally, by taking control of your mind and thoughts and adopting brain-healthy habits. You can harness the superpower we all born with, your brain's proven ability to change itself. It's called neuroplasticity. Change your brain, change your life. Let's talk to her. Debbie Hampton, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Hey, I just want to say, how the heck am I supposed to follow that fucking body just following?
We need you to follow it. We need you to get our brains fixed and straighten us out.
Yeah, but you know what, though? There's something positive you're bringing us. So that to me. Exactly. Now, there's so many people that I know, I've been surrounded by in my entire life that have suffered from either bipolar or depression or anxiety, like debilitating too, like can't get out of the house. I noticed my own son having issues with anxiety, and I've been trying to teach him about the present moment and so on and so forth. But when you talk about neuroplasticity?
Correct.
What is that, and what do you mean that it can help you bounce back from depression?
Okay, I like to say that neuroplasticity is a superpower we were all born with. And let me just say, I had a brain injury 7 years ago, and when I came out of the coma, I couldn't even speak. So I've come a long way, but if you don't understand me, do not hesitate to say, what? I'm useless. But neuroplasticity is, I mean, they used to believe that your brain after childhood was hardwired. And now we know that's not true at all. Your brain changes based on what you do in your life. Your life sculpts your brain. And based on emotions, thoughts, behaviors, and life events, your physical brain changes its form and function and makes new connections and new neural pathways. Now, this works against you in the form of bad habits, addictions, I mean, even depression and anxiety. Those are just basically neural patterns in your brain. But you can harness this process and make it work for you. And
how did you do that? How did you do that in your life, Debbie?
Well, you do it through becoming aware of your mind. You have to become aware of your thoughts and your emotions and your behaviors. I mean, it's the modern thing that everybody talks about, mindfulness. It's about being aware in the present moment and not just reacting based on your knee-jerk impulses. It's about stopping and being open to working with your thoughts and consciously deciding how you want to move forward with your behaviors, your thoughts, and even your emotions. I'm not saying that you can all just think happy thoughts and everything is better, or just decide, I don't want to be sad anymore, and you're not. But I'm saying acknowledge those thoughts and then run them through the thinking part of your brain. I mean, those are coming from the lizard brain, your old brain. They're your impulses, your limbic system. Mm-hmm. And you've got to involve your frontal lobe, your thinking brain, and consciously choose your behaviors.
Yeah.
So let me ask a question, and then my husband wants to ask you one. So are you saying, like, just becoming awake and aware while you're feeling these emotions kind of allows you to almost transmute them, to begin to change them by just becoming really awake in that present moment? Like, let's say, oh my God, I'm scared about something. And it's, you know, causing me to, you know, hide and not answer the phone. And if I stop and become very present and go, okay, look what I'm doing right now. I'm very awake and aware right now. I'm being very nervous and scared. Is that what you mean? Like becoming awake in that particular moment?
Exactly. Your brain is a feedback loop, both positive and negative. So, I mean, if you get scared and depressed and anxious and think are scared and depressed and anxious thoughts and behave that way, you're only reinforcing those pathways in your brain. But if you start to make little changes, I mean, even little changes can add up to big results over time. It's not going to happen overnight. But, I mean, if you start changing your thoughts and challenging your thoughts and saying, wait a minute, that doesn't work for me anymore. A lot of that stuff comes from our subconscious beliefs that were programmed during our childhood, like maybe that our parents said, or from the church or schools or whatever. And your brain believes that stuff, but you've got to consciously override that and say, wait a minute, that doesn't work for me anymore.
Right. Is there a way to say it? Sometimes, like, these theories, like, Jenny and I practice a lot of this stuff, but a lot of times people don't understand it in a simple, everyday term. Like, for example, an analogy might be, if you're driving down the road and you hit a pothole, you know, you hit the pothole and then you keep driving, focusing on the rest of your drive. But if you let that pothole trigger a thought in you, and then you keep thinking about that pothole, next thing you know, you're still back at the pothole, and now you're like into all these childhood emotions and triggers, and you're driving for the next half hour and don't even know where you're going because you're not even paying attention. Like, so many people drive and they end up somewhere and they're like, how did I get here? I was in my own thoughts the whole way. Like, simple ways to, like, explain it, like, you know, if Jenny says something on the show and I'm sitting here about an ex-boyfriend, and, you know, if I just stay in the moment and say, well, Jenny loves me, why would I care that she mentioned an ex-boyfriend, you know, then it just, we move on to the next moment, I don't think about it. But if I sit here thinking about an ex-boyfriend and getting caught up in it, and then suddenly, why would she say that in front of me? Is she trying to hurt my feelings? Like, suddenly all these thoughts.
It causes more pathways to be built of fear, correct?
Right.
And you've got to realize that you're assuming all this about what she said. And
right.
You're adding your subjective garbage to it.
Right.
I mean, all she said was a comment about exclusion. All the other stuff is coming from you and
right.
your mind. And when you stop and become aware of that and challenge it, argue with yourself and take a different position. I mean, give her a benefit of the doubt and try to see reasons why she's not against you.
Right. Yeah, and that's not a true experience. I'm saying that's
a true example.
Right. Yes, is to challenge it.
Can I ask you a question, too? Like, I'm looking at my son right now who's turning 13, and he's always a very happy, happy boy, but he's been lately having some anxiety issues, and it is tricky to try to teach a child about, you know, your subconscious and about the ego, even though he's slowly getting it. Like, how can I define it for children? What are some tools that you've learned with beating depression and anxiety that I can relate to a child?
Well, I would say what was most effective for me was learning to come into the present moment. And I do want to say that anxiety is more prevalent even than depression. But it's a precursor to depression. It often leads people to depression as part of it. But if you could just teach Evan to come into the present moment, anytime he's feeling anxious, I mean, make him realize that's his mind. Anxiety is usually about the future. He needs to come back to the present moment.
And I have been doing that, so I guess I'm on the right path. I've been teaching him,
yes,
whenever he has anxiety, I go, where are you? And he goes, darn it, I'm in the future. And I go, and where are you going to come back?
Right.
And he goes, the present moment. I go, what's in the present moment? He says, peace.
Exactly.
So I guess I just got to keep teaching him that and take my own advice to him when I get caught up in stuff like that. Were you diagnosed with depression, Debbie?
Oh, yeah. I took antidepressants for a decade. And, I mean, that was my second serious suicide attempt.
Wow. And you took medicine? And do you still take medicine?
I don't. I discontinued medicine 6 months after the attempt, which I don't really advise, but I just knew it went. I mean, I've been on it for a decade, and I still tried to commit suicide twice. It was not working for me.
Well, I know a lot of people, a lot of my spiritual gurus had suffered from severe depression, including Eckhart Tolle, Byron Katie, and many others, and then when they had this kind of awakening that their thoughts create their reality, and they have to turn their thoughts around and get, and really getting control of their mind is really what it comes down to over anything else.
It does, but depression really is a lifestyle. I mean, it's getting control of your mind, managing stress, it's diet, it's exercise. I mean, it's a lot of things. And this epidemic that we have in the U.S. of just turning to doctors and wanting to take a prescription is not helping. I mean, depression almost grows every year by 20%. Something is not working.
It's not working. I agree. And more kids I see are getting diagnosed younger and younger. That's why I'm like, we need to get a handle on this. But also, I want to recommend supplements. And like you said, food makes a huge difference. Sleep makes a huge difference. So if you conquer all those avenues, I think you can treat.
Fish oil. Fish oil.
Fish oils help. A lot of other ones. Debbie Hampton, thank you so much for this information. I'm a big believer in it. Thanks for spreading the word. People need to pick up the book, Beat Depression and Anxiety by Changing Your Brain. It's available on Amazon. They can also find you on your website at thebestbrainpossible.com. Debbie, thank you again.
Well, thank you, Jenny.
Very nice meeting you, and good luck to you, sweetie. We come back, we're going to talk about why women don't go for the nice guy. I went for the nice guy, though.